Thank you, Silver Bells. If you have your Bibles, go with me tonight to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. The naming of a child can be a matter much discussed and debated by a husband and his expectant wife. At least it was for both of our babies. Lots of debates, lots of words of discussion. Some couples choose trendy names. Some choose a family name. Some choose Bible names. But I think we could all agree tonight that the naming of a child is of utmost importance. I remember when we were expecting Will, and I had a feeling he'd have red hair and freckles. And so I wanted to give him a more traditional, serious name so the kids at school wouldn't have anything else to make fun of him about. The name you give a kid sticks with him for a long time. It's important. Mary and Joseph were spared those words of debate and discussion because God himself told them exactly what they were to name the child that was growing in Mary's womb. I want you to look with me at this story in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'd like for you to underline that phrase in verse 21 where it says, call his name Jesus. And I want to submit to you that the word in all caps, right in the middle of verse 21, is the most important word in all the English language or in any language. Jesus. You know, we're saved by that name, folks. We pray in that name. We're gathered in that name tonight. That name is above every name. And it's not just a name that identified our Savior for 33 years while he was on this earth. That would have been important enough. It's the eternal name of the second person of the Godhead. It's the name, Philippians says, that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That name is of the utmost importance. It couldn't be any more important. Have you ever wondered, why did God pick the name Jesus? We've wondered about other people, haven't we? Why'd her mama give her that name? Did you ever stop to wonder, why did God name his only begotten son Jesus? You know, there's a hint right there in verse 21. It says, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that little phrase describes the mission of Jesus. The name Jesus, the word Jesus, is the Hebrew word Yeshua. It's the contraction of two words. The first name is the covenant name of God, which means Jehovah. So you could say God named his son after himself. But the second part of that name is the word that means saves. So it's a contraction of two words that literally means Jehovah saves. That's what his name means. And out of all the words that God could have chosen to name his only begotten son, he chose to name him Yeshua because he wanted the world to know that he's a God that saves. Did you know the name Yeshua was common in Jesus' day? There were probably a couple of little boys in Jesus' village named Yeshua. Did you know, as a matter of fact, that Jesus isn't the first Yeshua in the Bible? His name is translated differently to distinguish him from other characters, but there are three Old Testament characters that either have his identical name or at least a big part of his name. And that's very significant. It's significant because, like Dr. Weaver alluded to this morning, The coming of Jesus does not begin a new story. No, Jesus comes into a very old story. A story of patriarchs and prophets and poets and priests and promises. And I want to submit to you tonight that each one of those characters who had the name of Jesus anticipates an aspect of our Lord's person and his work and teaches us about the kind of salvation he came to bring. So for the next three Sunday nights and these kind of wrap-up messages that we do after these programs, we'll look at each of those three Old Testament characters. This is really one message we'll preach over 3 weeks, so you got to come back next week and the week after to get the whole message, okay? I want you to turn with me, and we're going to meet the first of these Old Testament characters in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. Here's the first Yeshua we find in all the pages of the Bible. Over the next few weeks, we're going to meet a renamed preacher, a redeeming prophet, and a righteous priest. So we're going to meet the first Yeshua. He's a renamed prophet. The first Old Testament character that shared a name with Jesus is a man that's probably well known to all of us tonight. His name is Joshua, Yeshua. He's the man that followed Moses as the leader of the children of Israel. And this Joshua is the same one who saw the walls of Jericho fall down. He's the same one who prayed and caused the sun to stand still. He's the same Joshua who led the conquest of Canaan. Joshua, it's true, is one of the most successful and victorious men that you will find in all the pages of the Bible. You want to be encouraged, you want to have victory, study the life of Joshua. But in the story we're about to read, Joshua isn't any of those things yet. As a matter of fact, his name isn't even Joshua. Did you know Joshua was renamed? Look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names, of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar. And then the passage is going to go on and describe the 12 spies that went into the promised land. Skip ahead to verse 8. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Now skip ahead to verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or Yeshua. The name of Jesus. Now here's the setting. The people of God are standing on the edge of the promised land. The promised land is not a picture of death. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's a life of victory that God has always intended for his people to live. And God had already promised the people that they would enter into the land if they would just go by faith. The victory is already theirs. So God tells Moses, Moses, select a man from each tribe, send them over the river into the land to spy out the land so they can bring back a report that I've kept my promises to you. So they pick from every tribe a man. In one of those tribes, there is a man of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Now, this is the Joshua that we're so familiar with. He is the man that has a book of the Bible named after him. He's been Moses' minister for all these years in the wilderness. Up to this point in his life, he has not gone by the name Joshua or Yeshua. He's gone by the name Hosea. And in verse 16, in this specific event, right before this man is to go into the promised land with the other spies, Moses changes his name for a very important reason. His name before was Hosea, which is salvation. That's a pretty good name. But Moses renames him to Yeshua, which is Jehovah is salvation. Now again, stay with me. This happens at a very specific moment in the life of Joshua. It's these events that lead to his renaming. Moses is sending him into the land with 11 other men to bring back the report. So what is it about that particular mission that prompts Moses to give the son of Nun the name Jehovah is salvation? I want you to use your imaginations with me tonight. I want you to imagine Joshua and the other 11 spies are in the land. They come upon a vineyard by the brook of Eshcol, and someone says, "Whoa, would you look at the size of those grapes? It's going to take two men to carry a cluster back to the people. What do you think about that, Hosea?" The man answers, "Well, I'm as amazed as you are, but I'm not surprised, because what the Lord promises, he's able to perform. Oh, and my name is not Hosea. My name is Yeshua. The Lord saves." Well, then that little band of spies makes their way to the southern part of the land. And they come to a town that's filled with the children of Anak. And the murmuring begins among the spies. You see, those were giants. One of those spies says, "Would you look at the size of those men? They're giants. They must be 7 or 8 feet tall. We're like little puny grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can defeat those guys. What do you think about that, Hosea?" Maybe he just shakes his head. He says, "Hold on a second. We may look like puny little grasshoppers in the giant's sight, but those puny little giants are grasshoppers in our God's sight. You see, they're bigger than us, but they're not bigger than him. And don't forget, my name is not Hosea. My name is Yeshua. Jehovah saves." Then the little band comes to the walled city of Jericho. One of the other faithless spies said, "Would you look at the size of those walls? They reach all the way up to heaven. Hosea, we're doomed. We're never getting over those walls." And I think Joshua looked back at him and said, "You are in awe of those walls because you're on the bottom looking up. I'm in awe of the one who's on top and looking down. And just as sure as those walls are standing up today, they will be falling down soon. My name is not Hosea. My name is Yeshua. Jehovah is salvation." Many of you know the story. After 40 days, that band of spies leaves the land. They come back to the people to give their report. Within that band, there are 10 prophets of doom and despair and discouragement. They come preaching a faithless and a hopeless message. People believe him. The raucous crowd is stilled when someone says, "Let Hosea speak." He stands up and says, "If the Lord is with us, he will bring us into this land. He will give us this land. So stop listening to the message of hopelessness. Stop listening to those faithless preachers. Stop dwelling on the size of the giants and the size of the walls, and start dwelling on the size of your God. And by the way, my name is not Hosea. It's Yeshua. Jehovah is salvation." You see, folks, I believe that Joshua was given this chosen name at this specific point because he was intended by God to preach a message of hope and faith in God's ability to save. And when everyone else was looking at the adversaries, when all the other spies were focused on the obstacles, the name Yeshua would remind them to look beyond their adversaries and above their obstacles and see their God. And by the way, that name ought to do the same thing for you today. Now, how did the people respond to this renamed preacher? Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. This is interesting. Joshua has just given the message that I paraphrased for you. Look at what it says in verse 10. "But all the congregation," this is all the children of Israel, they're gathered together to hear the report. "All the congregation bade stone them with stones," Joshua and Caleb. How did they respond? Well, don't miss this. Because Joshua preached a message of faith that rested not in the people's ability or inability to scale the walls or slay the giants, but rather in God's ability to save them, the people wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him, and they would have. But look at what happens next in verse 10. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You need to get the picture. These guys have stones in their hand. They're ready to put Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron to death.
You see, when you come into the presence of a living Savior,
all of a sudden the glory of the Lord shows up in between Joshua and the congregation. And God is going to save the preacher. It most probably, I think, took the form of the pillar of fire that stood in between Joshua and the people. So in the end, Joshua not only reminds people of the salvation of God through his name, he personally experiences salvation as he is saved from the crowd and by the fire. Now hold on a second, and I hope your gears are already turning. Let's summarize. There was a man who lived much of his life by the name Hoshea. And at a specific moment for a special purpose, Moses changed his name to Yeshua, the same name of Jesus. His new name served a function in his new ministry to give a report, to preach a message of faith and hope to people who were full of doubt. They rejected his message and conspired to put him to death, but he was delivered from death by the glory of God. And why was he delivered? Because Jehovah saves. Now, all of that was wrapped up in that name when the angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, call his name Yeshua.
Changing.
You see, this Yeshua in Numbers 13 points to the Yeshua in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Changing.
And John.
You see, when you come into the presence,
Numbers 13 call our attention to a part of the life and ministry of our Lord. And it's a part that's often overlooked. We often think of Jesus as a miracle worker. We think of him as a leader, even as a lamb. But never forget, folks, that our Lord was a preacher. Listen to Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. John chapter 7 verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled. Jesus was a preacher. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. Stay with me because I'm going to make a connection here in a moment you're not going to want to miss. What kind of message did Jesus come preaching? I would submit to you much the same kind of message that Joshua the son of Nun preached to those people full of doubt and doom. Luke chapter 4 verse 16 records an incident of the preaching and of a particular message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
And in Genesis 4:25, the Bible says,
where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. What kind of message did Jesus preach when he came? Why was he born in Bethlehem? Why did he come? The words come from his own mouth. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captive, to give sight to the blind, to preach the good news to the poor. He came to preach a message that sin had distorted and broken our hearts. It had broken our inner lives. He came to tell us that we were spiritually dead, but that he was born as a baby and his name was Jehovah Saviour, and that he could heal our broken hearts and bring to life those who were dead
fought
in trespasses and sin.
The seed from being
born. That's
the
kind of message Jesus came to preach. He came to tell us that we were captives and bond slaves
to
sin today.
And to Satan,
but that he came to offer us a freedom that no one else has. A freedom from the penalty of sin, eternity in hell. A freedom from the power of sin through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And a freedom one day from the very presence of sin as we would live with him for all of eternity in a place called heaven. He came to tell us that the God of this world blinded our minds and darkened our understandings. So we could not see or comprehend the light that was shining in the darkness. Jesus came to be the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And he came to give sight to those that were blind. Oh, I'm glad today that Jesus came preaching a message of faith and hope for you.
What a wonderful night.
He had
when
words
the Son
of
God
grace and
was
hope
born.
And faith
at
the well.
Wonderful night.
Words
that's
of
what
grace
she was saying about
tree.
That.
Words of hope for the woman caught in adultery
believers
and for Nicodemus, the man in the
God,
night.
You know.
No one ever spoke to sinners with more compassion and love than Jesus did. His ministry was the very embodiment of his name, Jehovah Saves. Let me ask you folks, how did the crowd respond to this message of grace and faith and hope? Well, we have an indication actually right here in Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. How did they respond? They tried to throw him off a cliff. On another occasion, they tried to stone him, just like those folks tried to do to Joshua. And then after 3 years of giving a good report, after 3 years of preaching this message of grace like no one else had ever preached it, the crowd took Yeshua and they nailed him to a cross. And if you're picturing the cross in your mind's eye, you would almost expect that the glory of God would fall like it did in the days of Joshua. That the pillar of fire would come between Jesus and the congregation and would deliver Jesus from the crowd. But if you know the story, the pillar of fire didn't come between Jesus and the crowd. It didn't fall on the congregation of doubt to deliver Yeshua. The pillar of fire, the wrath of Almighty God, fell on Yeshua to deliver the crowd. Why? Because he's a God who saves. The first Joshua was saved from the crowd by the fire. The second Joshua took the fire to save the crowd. Joseph, call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Christmas is all about. So what should the name of Jesus do for us tonight? How should we respond to this? Well, let me tell you this. If you're not saved, you should be saved tonight by faith in his name. Listen to what the disciples said in Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul told this to the church at Corinth. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I want you to know, folks, there is power in the name of Jesus. His name reminds us of his mission. Call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. If you're here tonight without Christ, you're the reason that he came. He came on a mission for you. He was born for you. He lived for you. He died for you. And he rose for you so that you might, by simple faith in his name, get to where he is. That's why he came. I want to tell you something, friend. Your name won't get you into heaven. no matter how much of a loan it might get you at the bank, no matter what party it might get you into, no matter what corner office it might get you into, your name will not get you into heaven. I'll tell you this, the Pope's name won't get you into heaven. He's a sinner just like you are. Muhammad's name won't get you into heaven. He's dead. He's in hell today. Buddha's name won't get you into heaven. There's only one name that's going to get you into heaven, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And today, if you're lost and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, all you have to do, this is it, all you have to do is turn from your sins and put your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. He lived for you, He died for you, He rose for you because He came to save His people from their sins. And you can be saved tonight, and I pray you will be. What else should the name of Jesus do for us? The name of Jesus ought to warm our hearts in worship tonight. I love the name Jesus. Don't you love it? I love to see it on the written page of God's Word in all caps right there in Matthew chapter 1. I love to hear little children sing it. Don't you? I love to say it. Jesus. There's no name that means more to me than that name. The name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. John Newton, the great slave trader who found amazing grace, wrote these words. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. O Jesus, shepherd, guardian friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. How weak the effort of my heart, how cold my warmest thought, but when I see you as you are, I'll praise you as I ought. Till then, I would your love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of your name refresh my soul in death. That's the name I want to sing. That's the name I want to preach. That's the last word I want on my lips before I go to heaven, the name of Jesus. And if you're here tonight discouraged and down and depressed about something going on in your life, stop listening to the evil reports of doubt and doom and preach the name of Jesus to yourself. He's a God who saves. There's one more thing. The name of Jesus ought to stir you up to witness. In Acts chapter 9, it says that Paul spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you have that name, you can speak boldly because all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to that name. Acts chapter 15 says Paul and Barnabas were men that hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How old were you when you first heard the name of Jesus? I can't even remember a time when I didn't know the name of Jesus. Did you know that there are a billion people in this world that have never heard the name of Jesus? Did you know there are 2,000 languages in this world where the name of Jesus has not been translated? We sing it, we preach it, we pray in it, we rejoice in it. It warms us, it thrills us, it helps us, and it should. But many people in this world don't even know it. So we ought to be bold this Christmas season in preaching the name of Jesus. Church, do you love the name of Jesus? I ask you again, do you love the name of Jesus? Man, I got to ask you again, folks. I don't believe you. Not like that. Do you love the name of Jesus?
Amen.
Then listen, make it known. There's nothing else he wants more than that his name should be known by some from every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's what Christmas is all about. Mary, what do you think we ought to call him? Well, I'm not sure. Let's go to bed and sleep on it. Joseph goes to his house and goes to sleep, and he has a dream. And the angel says, I've got the name. Call him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you gave that name to your son. I'm so glad he was born as a baby. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross to die in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He's alive forevermore. And he's alive right now to save every person in this room that would call on that name by faith. For the Christians in this room tonight, I pray our hearts would be warmed. I pray that we would be brought into a spirit of worship and adoration to our great Savior, because that name is meaning more to us than it has ever meant. We love you, Jesus. We love that name. Help us to make it known. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone who would say tonight, Pastor Gillett, I'm not sure I ever have been saved by the name of Jesus. Maybe I've been going to church and trying to be a good person, or I've tried to do a lot of good things on my own, but I'm not certain I've ever been saved the Bible way. I never really knew it like you presented it tonight, that Jesus died for me on the cross in my place and for my sin. And Pastor, I need to pray tonight and ask Jesus to save me. I need to pray in that name. If that's you and you're not certain you're saved, but you'd like to be, would you just lift your hand with mine? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be sure. I wonder how many of you Christians would say, with all the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, our world's just spinning 90 to nothing, it's easy for me to forget how precious and wonderful and lovely the name of Jesus really is. I got to confess, my mind has been on a lot of other things this Christmas season. But tonight I've been reminded that my focus needs to be right on that name and right on that Savior. If that's you and that's how God's spoken to you, would you lift your hand with mine? No, that's many of you. Here in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to come and just to reorient the focus of your heart and put it back on Jesus. How many of you know a specific person this Christmas season that needs to know the name of Jesus? They're not saved and they're not on their way to heaven. You've been praying for them. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? Then why don't we turn this invitation into a prayer service and pray for those people that don't know the name of Jesus, not like we do. Father, work in the next few moments. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Work now in this invitation. It's yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight? If God has spoken to you, we'd like to invite you to come.